Welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. I'm Ray Brewer, along with Ryan Green, the beat writer for the UNLV basketball team for the Sun. UNLV, Ryan, victorious 73-47 against Central Michigan. We knew it was going to be a victory going in. Central Michigan only enters with three victories. UNLV's kind of last go-round before they hit Mountain West Conference play. You were there courtside. First impressions, what'd you think of the victory?
Sloppy, but, you know, to be expected, off a 9-day layoff in a season where you really haven't had a layoff, up to this point. You get 9 days off, chance to go home, be with the families, all that jazz. You know, it takes a little while to get back into it. And the other thing is it was a tough game to get up for, big crowd of 13,000, but you know, wasn't very active and loud, an opponent that really was probably the worst that UNLV's seen this year. I was a little surprised by how poor they were. And UNLV just kind of, they defended them really well for 40 minutes. Offensively, still in a little bit of a funk, but, you know, a nice win. Not pretty, but a nice win, and 26-point win will look good on the resume and maybe get them back in the top 25 next week if somebody drops out. Maybe Temple, number 25, who lost tonight. So, you know, solid B+.
Yeah, UNLV, Ryan, 12-2. Closing up non-conference play. I think that's good. I had them at 11-3 when I kind of looked at it before the season started.
I was right around there too, yeah.
Yeah, 12-2, you're definitely going to take it. They played real good in late November. They looked great in Anaheim. And then they tripped up a little bit here recently, having a hard time shooting the ball, maybe some other deficiencies. What do they need to kind of shore up here in the next few days heading into the start of the league on Wednesday?
Well, the shooting is a big thing because they're defending well still. Forced 24 turnovers tonight, I think 17 in the first half. You know, at one point, Central Michigan, I think maybe the third TV timeout had or media timeout because it wasn't televised, had no assists and 13 turnovers. So, you know, that the defense is fine. They really haven't let an opponent really get the best of them and get out and running. to this point, the shooting's a big thing. 24 of 51 looks good, but 4 of 13 from 3. I know they want that to be better. Chase Stanback 1 for 5, and he's kind of at the center of all this. He's really in a bad shooting slump. Probably the worst one he's been in since he's been here in a year and a half. He's got to get going because, the whole offense just seems to flow better when he's hitting shots and it spreads things out. And that was proven back in Anaheim, like you mentioned, when he was hitting everything under the sun. They need him to get going, and you know, his teammates all sound confident that he will get going. He probably will. I'm still a believer. I think he's got some. I think he's dealing with some maybe aches and pains. His form just doesn't look the same of late. He won't admit it, no matter how much me or the other media push him on it. So for now, it is what it is, and he's got to play through it and figure out how to get shots to fall. And Lon Kruger said, you know, he's shooting well in practice. Now they just need it to carry over into games, and they probably need it to do so soon.
Yeah, tonight they were actually 1 of 10 from 3 before they hit their last three shots from back there. And, you know, it's one thing if one guy's not shooting well, but when two and three guys aren't shooting well, then you run into some problems because they're so reliant on that outside shot to get their points. And I love when they take the ball to the hoop. I love when they've ran some nice set pieces to get alley-oops to Jasper.
A lot of nice finishers on this team.
Yeah. And I just wish that'd be kind of more part of the offense. They're real good in transition. They play great defense. I think they've got elite guard play. I think Belfield has developed into a great distributor, great leader, and great organizer of the offense. And, you know, what do you know? We'll find out how good this 12-2 is right off the bat. Wednesday, the BYU Cougars come into town. Yep. Everybody loves to hate BYU.
Another good road win for them tonight at Buffalo.
Yeah.
Not an easy place to play against a 9-3 team.
And obviously, Jim Erford, you know, first team selection, Mountain West, guy who probably is going to be in the league because anybody who could shoot is going to make it that far. Yep.
And he's an awesome athlete. Doesn't get nearly enough credit for that.
Does the defense carry over against BYU?
It's all going to depend on Trayvon Willis, I think. And, really quick, you mentioned a couple guys breaking out of the shooting slump. You know, Oscar Belfield hadn't shot the ball well lately. 4-6 tonight. And you mentioned those three late threes. They were all his. And he had 11 points, 5 assists. Very solid effort for him, and he's playing well. Defensively, Trayvon Willis is going to have to be huge because he's kind of the resident Fredette stopper on this team. Jimmer Fredette has had more than a tough time against Trayvon Willis the last couple of years. And Willis is just now kind of getting back into form from the early season suspension and offseason surgery. He's going to have to be big because if you can cut the head off of BYU's offense, and that's Fredette, you got a very good chance because really their scores around him aren't playing as well early this year as they were early last year. The Collinsworth kid still hasn't come around, the Mountain West freshman, preseason freshman of the year. Just a lot of guys kind of struggling a little bit. So if you can slow down Fredette, that's a very susceptible team right now.
Yeah, the one thing UNLV, you know, is kind of flirting with is maybe they're not as healthy as they should be going in. You got to remember, Jasper was hurt at the end of last year. Willis had off-season knee surgery. Belfield had off-season surgery. You suspect that Stanback's hurting a little bit.
Well, Jasper just tweaked his knee again a couple weeks ago, too.
Exactly. So, you know, having your big 3-4 guys with – you know, probably not at 100% or, you know, just maybe having in the back of their mind that little doubt or, you know, just playing with a little bit of pain, maybe not what you want going into it. Sometimes I think I have my finger around this team, Ryan, and I think I know what to expect. And then other times I'm just lost, bro. I mean,
yeah.
They are they're tougher to figure out this year for me than they maybe were last year.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's a very similar team, though, still to where it was last year. I think they're still kind of trying to find an offensive identity without having some three-point crutches to lean on. You know, last year, Trey shot the ball from three really well, and obviously you had Matt Shaw and Kendall Wallace, who you thought you'd have this year, and you don't. So, you know, they're still trying to find a consistent identity because they are a good shooting team still, but they're also good at slashing and finishing at the bucket. They're still trying to find that healthy balance. And also try to mix in the big guys. And by the way, Quintrell Thomas off the bench tonight played really well. 17 minutes. He only had he had 3 fouls, but a couple were late. 8 points, 8 rebounds. And, you know, they put Bryce Mesama in the starting lineup because he'd been doing some things well. And they wanted to keep Quintrell out of foul trouble. And while they helped Quintrell, they kind of, you know, look, Bryce has started now 17 games in his career. And in those starts, he just hasn't played well. No points, no rebounds in 10 minutes, and he fouled out. So.
Ugly. He did have an assist. Give him some credit.
And a steal.
And a steal. Let me ask
Counts
you
for something.
I mean, I think we were all spoiled maybe when UNLV was in Anaheim. They played so well. Mm-hmm. What worked for them then that might have changed a little bit now? Is that a fair question?
They shot the ball so well. You know, the defense was at its peak, which it's still playing near that peak, but the shooting just masked everything. They were shooting the lights out. And, you know, Chase Stanback, when he's hitting shots, defenses have to pay so much attention to him because you got a 6'8" guy floating around the perimeter who can also crash the glass that, you know, it gave other guys a lot of opportunities. And, you know, things just aren't coming as easy for guys like Anthony Marshall now or like a Derek Jasper as they were when Chase was hitting. And I really, truly believe that's the biggest difference right now. Chase Stanback needs to get going. And in Anaheim, Quintrell Thomas played really well. He had great games against Murray State and Virginia Tech. I think he had like 12 and 7 against Virginia Tech. You know, so a couple guys need to come around, and they just that was as balanced a basketball as you've seen them play all year and probably as balanced a basketball as you will see them play. If they can play like that against bigger teams, they're going to beat them. But it's just can you find that consistently?
Yeah, and if you just look at kind of their body of work this year, I mean, great wins against Wisconsin, Virginia Tech, I mean, Kansas State, even with those guys out there.
Still a great win.
19,000 yeah. people
still
there.
Still
going to
get a lot of credit
throat.
For it, yeah.
They're in a good spot right now. Mm-hmm. You know, they're on the verge of being nationally ranked again. You know, they're opening league play at home, good benefit there. And, you know, they're coming together offensively, even though it's slowly coming together. I got to go back to the defense. Every game, you know, I type in the stats, and they're forcing 20-plus turnovers. Mm-hmm. And that is a great starting point because if your offense is a little behind, it can get caught up because defense, good defense.
Creates easy offense. And, you know, they had 12 fast break points and 31 points off of turnovers. So, you know, This is an offense that's very capable of finishing off those turnovers, and they've proven that time and again. And they're going to keep producing them.
What about the starting lineup? Go back to Quantrell, keep Bryce in there. Obviously, Anthony Marshall's better when he starts, but it looks like he's going to be...
He's figuring it out now as a reserve. I think you stay as is for a little bit. You don't want to mess with Quantrell's head too much or Bryce's and keep him teetering on. Well, if I'm playing well, I'm starting. If I'm not, I'm benched and coming off the bench. I think you want to keep it consistent. I think you stay with Bryce until you absolutely have to change it. You know, because Bryce fouled out, but it wasn't like it was really detrimental to the team tonight outside of no rebounds. You know, they don't need him to score, but they need him to be a presence inside. He's played against BYU a lot. He's played in those games. I think you keep him in there for now.
Yeah, and, you know, league play starts for everybody here in 2011. Happy New Year to everybody. The one thing I love that you do every Monday is those power rankings for the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like the top three teams, UNLV, San Diego State, BYU, it's obviously in the ranking. San Diego State, is it BYU, UNLV?
Yeah.
I think they've combined for, what, four losses this year? Or
yes.
Something,
yes. Three. Between those three.
That just speaks volumes, obviously, about where the league is. The one thing I found interesting, and I've been preaching this since last year, I love Colorado State.
Oh, yeah.
And you have them as four, and New Mexico is five. Do explain, because that shocked me a little. That wasn't a safe pick.
They're proving it right now. Look, Colorado State has a tough time getting people to come play them, so they've had to go on the road and play a lot of teams. Leading up to Christmas, they had to play three games in Cancun. They beat Southern Miss, who's probably an NIT team this year. They beat Ole Miss, who might be an NCAA tournament team this year. Those are quality wins, and I'll tell you what, there is no coach in this league who gets more from his talent than Tim Miles, and he has limited talent, but he gets every last bit out of it. And I'll tell you what, when he leaves that program, which I think will be after either this year or next year, they're going to be hurting, because it's a tough place to recruit to, but he's found a way to do it, and he's succeeding there. I think they're an NIT team this year, which – for a lot of schools, it's kind of like UNLV is getting to the NCAA tournament. If that team gets the NIT, it's a huge deal, and I think they'll succeed there if they get there. They're 10-3 right now in New Mexico, probably an NCAA tournament team. They're 11-2, got a really tough win last night at Texas Tech that maybe they shouldn't have gotten, but either way, they're just not playing like they should be right now. They're struggling. They're playing a lot of games closer than they should be. And I just don't think they've earned the right to be considered better than Colorado State right now. At the end of the day, they probably will be. They're more talented for sure. But right now, Colorado State's earned that spot.
I mean, moving forward, I love how the Mountain West is probably a four-team league, and the Big Bad Pac-10 is probably a...
three or four, maybe.
Maybe. I was going to say two or three.
You got Arizona and Washington, I think, will definitely be there at the end. UCLA's kind of hanging around. Washington State's making some noise. But right now, I really think the only two that you can really say our quote-unquote locks are Washington and Arizona.
Well, Ryan Green, obviously great talking to you. UNLV, 73, Central Michigan, 47. BYU on Wednesday, we'll have all your coverage. We've got some good stories planned, folks. Thanks for listening, reading our stuff. Happy, safe New Year for Ryan Green, Ray Brewer. Breaking it down like we do.
The thing I keep coming back to, and I even wrote it in my picks, is just think, all Basic had to do was beat Coronado, and they wouldn't be in this situation. How do you lose to Coronado? We just have to keep going back to that. I can't fathom it.
Yeah, tough cross to bear, and he approves it on any given Friday or Thursday night here in town, and anything can happen. In the Northeast, a real interesting thing is Vegas is locked up to one, and Canyon and DP are playing for the two. DP has to win this game, because if they get the three, that means they play at Foothill the first week. Foothill hammered them into the ground already this year by like 40 points. They know if they don't win this game, their season's essentially over. I think that's a real interesting look. And I know Foothill has got to be rooting for Canyon, because they don't want to play Canyon in the first round either. Canyon's real athletic. That could be a formula for disaster. So real interesting there. And then the fourth spot in the Northeast, you got Rancho, Valley, L-Dog. If Valley beats Rancho, which is very possible, Rancho, Valley, and L-Dog would each have three wins in the league. L-Dog could still get the four seed if they beat Vegas. Not going to happen. So now you got a great tiebreaker. Three teams, you know, you got to examine their record against each other, which, you know, could tie out. You know, you got to examine, you know, record against teams higher in the league, which is going to tie out. It's going to come down to points and, you know, and who knows. So real interesting in the Northeast, folks. We'll try to get the playoff matchups for you, obviously. And then the Sunset Region with the Southwest and the Northwest. Still 2 weeks of games because they're a week behind. The Northwest, you know Arbor's in, you know Palo's in. Then you got Centennial, Chi-Town, Shadow, Legacy, all fighting for that those last two spots. I guess if Chi-Town wins out, they're in. You know, Centennial plays great defense. They beat Legacy by stopping a two-point conversion in overtime. So, again, nobody wants the four because nobody wants to play Gorman.
Centennial's pretty much in the three right now. All they have to do is hang on. Don't have their schedule in front of me, but I know right now that. Yeah, but Centennial in good position. Looks like they might get the three. Cheyenne, of course, controls their own destiny. Well, let's cut to the chase. Let's get to this week's games. Thursday is a special day this week, not only because it's one of my favorite bands in the world, but because it's high school football night. All the games on Thursday.
Called
Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, great band. I'm sure I'm one of my favorites for the last decade.
Do they sing Just a Romantic Monday? Have you heard that song? It's Just a Romantic Monday. Whoa.
No, I have not.
You ever heard that song?
I don't think so.
Is Thursday they sing rock and roll?
I guess you could call it that.
It's like more heavy rock and roll.
I don't know about heavy.
Angry,
it's kind of whiny.
Whiny rock and roll.
Kind of.
Is it something you plan on?
No, okay. I don't know. we'll just get on. Maybe they'll be playing it at the Henderson Bowl as they get that underway. Green Valley at Basic. Basic has won at least 2 years in a row, I know. Do you see them doing it again with their lives on the line?
Well, here's the deal. Green Valley used to own this game. Every year, the Green Valley tailback would have a career day against Basic because they could not stop the run. Give credit to Jeff Cahill. He took over 2 years ago. This is his third Henderson Bowl game. Has yet to lose to Green Valley. Probably not going to happen this week. Aaron Love, the talented tailback. Paul McKay, the talented quarterback. The quarterback who could throw the ball for Green Valley. Both knocked out against Silverado. Don't know if they'll play. Must win for Basic. At Basic, senior night. Basic's always cared more about the game than Green Valley. Even though it's Green Valley's last game and they want to close with a win. And it's a rivalry game, and anything can happen in rivalry games. I gotta like this.
But will it even matter? Because if Basic wins, they have to hope that Del Sol can beat Silverado to get in the playoffs. And I gotta tell you, I think we're gonna be different here. I'm taking Silverado. I don't know how you're not with the shirt you're wearing today. It's Silverado colors. It's a beautiful shirt, by the way. I wish I had it. But I think I like Silverado in this game.
Here's the deal. Silverado, I still think, has the most talent in that league. But Del Sol right now is running the ball with such great intensity. Their players are now conditioned to play both ways where they weren't at the beginning of the year. This Chris Marshall kid's getting 200 yards a game. Troy Miller's not so tired where he can't throw the ball. And Del Sol always just finds a way to win. I don't know how it happens. They micromanage the game. They control the clock. I like Del Sol. I'm glad we differ. It's unfortunate that Basic's going to win the Henderson Bowl on senior night, and the players are going to be disappointed because they're not going to make it.
Well, if they win and Silverado loses, they make it, right?
They do, but if Silverado wins, like,
yo, you're right. In my scenario,
yes, yes,
gotcha.
Yes, yes.
All right, so you are taking Basic to make the playoffs, which I can't believe,
no,
and I'm taking them to miss it.
No, baby, I'm taking Basic to beat Green Valley. I am taking Basic
to make the playoffs,
yes.
And I'm saying Basic is not in. What a role reversal after all these weeks. Coronado at Foothill, the final Southeast game. What's Foothill need to do to bounce back? You got to assume they're going to win here.
Well, they got to figure out. Connor Foe hurt the knee again last week against Liberty. He's obviously a key cog to that team. They're going to have to figure out how to play without him because even if he does come back, the knee won't be 100%. Foothill, it was their first last loss last week. They're still a great team. They got to get their swagger back. Who better than Coronado? Smack Coronado around a little bit. Get your swagger back. Chances are you're gonna play a lot of meaningful games in the playoffs. Get ready for the athleticism of the Northeast because you're going to have to face Vegas in the semis.
Another game we differ on now that we already mentioned, Desert Pines at Canyon Springs. You like the Jaguars.
I like the Jaguars. They're good up front. They're running the ball. They're on a little bit of a win streak, 4 or 5 games. Canyon Springs was so bad last week. Those kids are so young. Hunky Cooper's going to have to mentally get them ready to play. Not physically, mentally, because those kids know that they're not as good as Vegas. And I think DP's hot. And listen, Canyon struggled against L-Dog, struggled against Valley. I don't know if they were overlooking them. I don't know if those teams are better than we think. This Desert Pines team is better than L-Dog and Valley. They run the ball well. I still think running the ball is the key to victory.
Yeah, there should be a lot of running the ball in this game. It's really both teams' strengths. Both have 2 or 3 guys that are capable of picking up some yards. I'm going to take Canyon Springs in a close game. I just think they probably have a little bit more talent. Next up in the Northeast, El Dorado at Las Vegas. Sun Devils really desperate. Going to have to get a win here to get into the playoffs, I believe. And that's kind of a hard thing to imagine.
Yeah, Vegas owns that league. They own El Dorado. I watched the L-Dog game on TV last Thursday. They win, they're in the playoffs. I wasn't happy with the way their players didn't seem like they could care that they lost. Give me Vegas. Not that I wouldn't pick Vegas.
Usually not much to talk about in this game, but I think this might be your most exciting game of the week because Chaparral is probably going to get a win. They're hosting Sunrise Mountain. Chaparral's got to be at least a touchdown favorite here, right?
I think they roll. Sunrise Mountain is not good. Donnie Davis, 2 years to get the first W, baby, but how many teams case in the year with a win? Put it on the board. Yes.
Valley and Rancho, this is another big playoff game. You've actually mentioned you think it might be close with Valley. I'm not seeing it. I like Rancho big.
I like Rancho to win. I think it's going to be closer. I think Valley's a little better than everybody gives him credit for. Anthony Sanders is a decent quarterback. Bottom line, Jamel David, Rancho, run the ball, win the game, get in the playoffs. Good luck with it.
With Deshaun Martin, I think that Bishop Gorman's scoreless drought with their opponents ends this week. I think Bonanza gets in the end zone at least once, but not much more than that. What do you think? Can Gorman shut out another opponent?
It's been 17 quarters. Here's the thing. I think Gorman could put up 100 if they wanted to against these guys. Now, they could put up 100 against a lot of guys, but you got to remember this Bonanza defense gives up like 55 points a game. They've given up 77, 75. Gorman, God bless him. He's going to have to start playing his kids longer into the games to get conditioned for the playoffs. Deshaun Martin's good. You know, the quarterback for Bonanza, your boy, the lefty, throws the ball well. They might put some points up. This is going to be interesting. Okay, Deshaun Martin's a legit D1 prospect, maybe one of the best players in the league. What's he do against him?
And we probably should have mentioned last week's game. What was it, 73-67 or something like that? Bonanza edged out Clark.
Yeah, and they had to score like 3 straight times in the fourth quarter to beat them, who I think is a lot better than people think.
Well, since we're talking about Clark, let's jump right into that game. Desert Oasis visiting Clark. Desert Oasis can't take, you know, these 6 days to celebrate their big win against Durango because, like you said, Clark is dangerous and capable of pulling an upset. But I still like Desert Oasis here. That easy. Next, we'll go to Sierra Vista and Western. Well, I guess the upside is one of these teams is going to get a win.
And that's it's always this, bro. These are two bad teams, and I give Western an edge by 1 point. I don't know why, but I just feel Western's going to win by 1 point.
I'll take Sierra Vista, I guess. Well, I guess right now I just decided give me Sierra Vista. Why not? Arborview at Faith Lutheran should be a little bit better game. Arborview still undefeated. Is it their last game before Palo, I believe?
Last game before Palo, and they've had a week off. Arborview runs the ball extremely well. Faith Lutheran is so bad up front. They cannot. They've got 3 great players. They throw the ball well. They're going to put points up on whomever. They just cannot stop a nosebleed. And if you would ask me before the year who would win this game, I would have made Faith Lutheran a double-digit favorite. I would have bet my house in the Del Sol zone on them. Now, I can't. If Faith wins this game, I wouldn't be shocked. I still think they got. How do you lose with the Patero and Pearson kid? I mean, it just shows you how important running the ball is.
I wouldn't be shocked if they win either, but I have heard from a source being one of our commenters, that our review has a great secondary, so I guess that maybe they can shut down Faith Lutheran.
I don't care how good the secondary is. I mean, it's good. It's a flag football game, essentially, when Faith has the ball.
Well, there you go. Pretty big game, Centennial and Cheyenne. Cheyenne needs a win to get back in the thick of things, but for me, it's kind of tough to imagine. Centennial's just been so solid all year.
Solid, and they're real good at defensively. I think they've got a lot of – they're winning the close games. You know, top of two-point conversion last week. You win this game, you're essentially in the playoffs. It takes Centennial by 11 points, 29-18.
Spring Valley is back on track. Should easily have that four seed and the luxury of playing Palo Verde in the first round. Going to Pahrump this weekend. Yep, that's about it. Spring Valley, big. Legacy at Palo. Don't forget, Legacy knocked off Palo last year, undefeated regular season. But to say the least, this isn't the same team, and Palo should roll here.
I would agree with you. Legacy, injuries have hurt them all year. A younger team, definitely underachieved. I give them credit for going for two against Centennial, even though they came up just short. I still want to see LJ McMorris at his healthiest. I think he's dynamic. I think Palo's going to win big, though.
Look at Chatto Ridge. They need some help, but they are back in the playoff race to the Northwest somehow. They've won two in a row, probably as underdogs. I think we would both agree. This week, they're going to change roles a little bit. They'll be the favorite to beat Mojave. Do you see them getting a third straight win?
I see them getting a third straight win, but Mojave has gotten better and better each week. And if Chatto Ridge overlooks Mojave, then Papa G on the message board is going to be real solid. Would you agree with me?
There you go. Okay. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'll take Chatto Ridge. You're talking all about your Hawaiian barbecue. Well, I think you're going to be banned from every place over by Liberty after you make this next prediction. Who do you like in Liberty versus Cimarron? Let's give it. I'm going to sit back and let you go.
Here's the deal. This game, and I cannot believe I'm saying a high school football game means nothing. This game means absolutely nothing. Liberty at Cimarron. Liberty's already locked up their one seed. They've already locked up two home playoff games. Why get somebody hurt against Cimarron is my question. Why put Sam Ty out there four quarters against Cimarron when he's already been hurt this year? Why bring Ty Bird back when he's missed the last 4 weeks with a knee injury to play against a Cimarron team? You know, they're going to bring up some kids from the JV. They're going to see who could play for the playoffs. This is essentially a scrimmage. Give me Cimarron.
But if it's so meaningless, it's meaningless to Cimarron, too. I mean, why are they going to be so motivated
Cimarron
to win this game?
Cimarron has more to prove. They've had a bad year. They're likely going to miss the postseason. Liberty's already in. They're already this is like, you know, Peyton Manning in week 17 of the NFL season playing Buffalo.
And they'd still probably win.
No, what happens every year? They don't play and they lose the Buffalo.
I don't see it.
Who do you play? How long do you play? Do you want Sam Pye to get hurt chasing down Gerard Martinez?
I like Liberty, and I like them even more now with you saying they're going to lose. They're going to be so motivated just to go out and prove you wrong. We all know Liberty loves this show.
Listen, here's the deal. Liberty could care less if they win this game. If they beat Cimarron and then they lose the Rancho next week, who gives a crap?
All right, I know I'm not being bold, but I got to like Liberty here. I think that does it. I think that's all the games. Oh, whoa.
Game of the week, the game we've been waiting for.
Moapa Valley and Virgin Valley. So sorry I forgot. It's not on this sheet, but Moapa Valley, Virgin Valley, they're going to play 2 weeks in a row. Who do you like in the first version?
I just love how one of the state's most significant rivalries, you know, two neighboring towns, the biggest rivalry in the 3A, means virtually nothing. Like, well, let's not show them too much because next week we play and the winner of that game really gets to do some fun things. Right. Three-team 3A, three times the fun. I like Virgin. I think Virgin's a little better this year. But one thing I do think is that whoever is more aggressive up front, if I'm a lineman, I want to dominate the guy in front of me. I want him to know that I'm the man and that he's not the man, and I'm going to kick his butt this week and next week. And that's why I like big, bad Virgin.
I do. I'm really impressed with Virgin this year. Every week, I think they've only lost one game, maybe two. But they've played well every week. Moapa, though, just was so dominant last year against this team. I like Moapa. How interesting would it be if whoever wins goes back and loses next week in the game that matters? I don't know why, but that's kind of what I'm rooting for. That would be an interesting storyline.
It would be. we're going to throw out the Durango's JV team to play you. Have fun. Congratulations. I hope you enjoyed your senior year.
Give me Boulder City in that one, and give me Moapa Valley. I'll go against Brewer. For sure, that is all the games. Thanks for listening.
I wish this game was on a Friday so we could go to it. I'd love to go to, like, dinner one night in over.
Yeah, that would be great. We could listen to Thursday on the drive over there.
All right. Thursday. Yeah, okay. Not just a romantic Monday.
Not just
listening to the Deftones.
There you go. There you go. Thanks for listening.